It's Current State on WKAR. We're glad you're along today at the top of our program. Big money is corrupting our political process. Those are the words of an Oakland County business owner and entrepreneur who, for the second time, is in the race to represent Michigan's 8th Congressional District, which includes Lansing and East Lansing. Preston Brooks is an independent who says both the Democratic and Republican parties have failed the country because of the influence of money from large special interests. In his effort, which the Clarkston resident announced earlier this week, Mr. Brooks says he will not accept campaign money from PACs, special interests, organizations, corporations, or lobbyists. The Stanford University engineering graduate retired from the U.S. Navy as a captain after a 24-year career, and he recently launched a new computer software company and also is an adjunct professor of computer science at Oakland University. Preston Brooks, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
It appears you have little, if any, faith in the two major parties. On your website, you say, and I'll quote here, "Just like the roads, we can't keep refilling the potholes in Michigan's 8th District with the same speed bumps. We need to totally repave Congress with independents who will get the job done," unquote. In your view, how have the two major parties failed the country?
There are three fundamental reasons, in my view, for the dysfunctional government and the failure of the two parties. First and foremost, you've already mentioned the toxic and cancerous effect of overwhelming money in politics. And it's all driven by this obsession with re-election, where the Congress members spend more than half their time on the phone raising money. That's the first reason. The second one is that we've gone from what's best for the people in Congress to a zero-sum game, which means there's always got to be a winner and always got to be a loser. And in that zero-sum game, essentially what creates it is that civility, discourse, and compromise create the oil that lubricates the machinery of government. And the machinery of government has no oil. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have a contract. Our government is based on a very simple contract between the people who represent us, we the people, and we the people ourselves. The representatives are supposed to be representing not just the people that voted for them, but all the people in the district. And we the people have the obligation as part of that contract to understand the issues, understand the candidates, and vote.
You suggest that independent candidates like yourself can get the job done. What positions on issues define these independent candidates that you think the country needs?
I think really you take the best from all the political parties. We look at ourselves, we independents, as problem solvers. That's the reason I got into this race. For example, we really like the fiscal responsibility that the Republicans are championing. We also believe, however, that the Democrats have the right idea in that we're in this together and we're responsible for the most vulnerable in our society. The Libertarians have it right when they say that government has no business in the personal lives of women's health issues and other social issues that should be certainly within a family and within a family and their counselor. So our position is that good ideas don't have any labels. They don't have an R label and they don't have a D label or an L label. They're just good ideas. And so what I want to do is to go to Congress and be a problem solver and a catalyst for others in Democrat and Republican parties that really want to do the right thing, but they haven't found anything to coalesce around yet.
You say you want to get the money out of politics, and you say you're not accepting PAC money nor money from special interests, organizations, corporations, or lobbyists. That likely reduces your campaign and advertising budgets significantly, I would think. Won't that be a huge practical hurdle in getting anywhere?
It takes money to run for political office. There's no doubt about that. But if we the people are going to make a change in the way that we do the business of government, they have to become engaged. And the way that they have to become engaged is to help finance a candidate of their choice by contributing $100. So if I can get $100 from 200 people, that's $20,000. So that's that. You can run a fairly good campaign on that. But I really subscribe to retail politics. I like toe-to-toe barbecues, meetings. I like to be able to sit across the table from people and explain why we have to change the way we do business in Washington. And the best way to do that is for we the people to do it. Congress will never, ever vote against their own interests. So we have to take the reins of power back by financing those candidates that we feel should be responsive to us.
Our guest on Current State, Preston Brooks from Oakland County. He's a Clarkston resident who earlier this week declared his candidacy as an independent for Michigan's 8th Congressional District. This is actually your second shot at Congress in the 8th, the second time as an independent. You finished, fourth out of four in the general election 2 years ago. 345,000 votes were cast. You received 6,000. What did you take from that campaign?
It's very difficult.
it's
not
very easy.
Difficult. It is not easy. But nothing that is worthwhile is easy. And the only reason I got into this race is I was looking at myself one morning in the mirror, trying to figure out what I could do about the current situation. And I was reminded of a quote by Edmund Burke. And that quote is, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." So I'm doing something.
You have a page on your website entitled 12 Pillars for American Success, and I'd like to ask you about a few of these. You believe income inequality is destroying the middle class, and you call for a long-term government deficit and tax reform program, including control of government spending and increases in revenue to boost consumer and business confidence. Should the emphasis be more on increasing revenue or on cutting spending?
You can't do either in a vacuum. You have to consider both together. And my whole philosophy of government has been shaped by the Republican Tom Coburn and the Democrat Kent Conrad, who both of whom are leaving. One's left the Senate, one's going to leave the Senate. And that is, you should have a government that delivers the best value to its constituents, not the cheapest services or the most expensive services, but the best value, which means the most cost effective. So you want a streamlined government, but you also want to provide those services and investments that are necessary for us to be successful. Research and development, infrastructure, all of those things have to be paid for. And so I believe in the Republican idea of personal responsibility. We have to pay for what we use. I mean, look at the roads. There's a good example of how we're not paying for what we use.
What did you make of the Bowles-Simpson plan to reduce the federal, to balance the federal budget?
I think it's a great start. I think it needs to be tweaked. But it's the first time I have seen the two parties not go through a kabuki dance and to actually talk about weighty issues. Right now, nobody is talking about the long-term issues. And if we don't get our arms around that, we will never succeed as a government.
You are an advocate of universal health care and say America should repair, not replace, Obamacare. What needs to be repaired?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion. First of all, most people don't realize that it is private health care, that these are private health insurance companies, except for the expansion of Medicaid, of course. But I believe that the administrative machinery is very confusing to a lot of small businesses and a lot of people who don't understand how it works, but I think it's a step in the right direction. We're the only country in the Western world that doesn't have universal health care. So I think that food, clothing, shelter, and health care are all basic human needs that we all need to have access to.
You call for reforms to the tax code, including expiration of the Bush-era tax cuts affecting persons making more than $250,000 a year, but extending them for persons making under $250,000 a year. Care to tell us more about that position?
Yes. You know, you should pay what you can afford to pay. And those who have benefited from the legal framework in this country, the infrastructure in this country, the trained employees and expertise of the research and development that's been provided in this country should pay their fair share. They've been the most successful. They should pay the most. It's just like progressive income tax. I certainly am willing to pay more taxes if we get the kinds of services and investments and a long-term strategy. To me, that's why all this money is parked on the sidelines right now in business. Everybody is risk-averse. And because Congress can't agree on anything, they're afraid to make any investment because they don't know what the long-term implications of that would be. So, yes, I think that the more money you make, the more you ought to pay. And I'm certainly willing to do that.
Preston Brooks is our guest. He's an independent candidate for Congress in the Michigan's 8th District, including Lansing and East Lansing. You also call for cutting the country's corporate tax rate to 20%. Why?
Well, I think, for one thing, the nominal tax rate that we have makes us non-competitive looking at other countries around the world. But what we really need to do is to bring down the corporate tax rate, but make sure everybody pays their fair share. We have lots of companies that take advantage of tax havens overseas and outsource a lot of jobs, and we need to reward those companies that bring jobs back to the United States. I really think that by lowering the tax rate and becoming more competitive from a tax perspective, that by lowering them and evening out the burden on all the corporations, we'd be better off.
How do you assess Governor Snyder's performance?
I think Governor Snyder has done some really good things, and he's done some not so good things. The thing I'm most impressed with, is his efforts on the efficiency of government. He was able to get the legislature to submit the first budget on time in over two decades, which I think is quite an accomplishment. He reinstituted the Civilian Conservation Corps, which is an old FDR idea, so it's kind of surprising that a Republican governor would do that, but it's a great idea.
Would seem to embody some number of the reasons he's viewed as a right-of-center guy politically, but not as doctrinaire as an awful lot of the other people in the legislature.
And I admire him for that.
Okay.
I admire him for that. But the downside to Governor Snyder is, and not just Governor Snyder, but I think what he really embodies, along with the state legislature, is that one-party rule is not the answer. So everyone who thinks that, boy, if only the Republicans could win control of everything or the Democrats could win control of everything, then all would be sweetness and light. And we've seen in Lansing, we still can't get the roads fixed. We're still 47th in the country in education. And we still have a long way to go.
And how do you assess President Obama's performance?
I think, again, pluses and minuses. I think he has the opportunity to go down as one of the most historic presidents for all the reasons everybody knows. But I think he's got two major flaws that could prevent him from doing that. The first is that he's not tough enough. He needs to be Teddy Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, FDR tough, and he's not. I think the other thing is he's too isolated and too hands-off. And the example of that is the debacle on the website for the Affordable Care Act. There's absolutely no excuse that if you've had 3 years that you can't produce a website that works out of the gate. So I think he's done some good things. As I mentioned, the Affordable Care Act needs to be repaired, not replaced. How are you going to tell 8 million people and all the insurance companies that have those 8 million policies that you're going to cancel that?
Mm-hmm. Preston Brooks is an independent candidate who became a candidate, announced his candidacy earlier this week for the 8th Congressional District here in Michigan. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Good luck.
Thank you very much, sir.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.